We got a couple of minutes before we start.
Be done outside today.
Jerry?
Everybody
I
looking
think Paula said Paula.
for me?
Oh, I came across an interesting little quote thing, little thing you might be interested in hearing. Meditate on.
Okay. As soon as we get started, why don't we begin with that?
Okay, yeah.
Hey.
Hey guys, some brave souls. Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Need to get out of
Hey Matt.
the house.
John, good morning. Oh, thank you.
I'll be out of town the next, because what, 2 weeks later, right?
Wow, you can. Good.
Every road except my driveway is
Oh, yeah, that was our job,
good.
too.
Okay, we're getting ready here. Margo's going to close the door. And for those of you who are online, we are pleasantly surprised to have some people here in person. Hi, Rhonda. Okay. A reminder, in case I don't remember at the end of our session, we are going to be, when we complete this Book of Mastery, we're going to be moving on to another one of Paul's books called The Book of Innocence. It's a couple of volumes after this one. But Margot and I were both impressed with the material, the way it was explained, and we didn't want to get too anal about following things in order. So we just decided that looked like a good book to fill in the progression with. So we'll remind you of that a little bit later. You can get those. We usually get our copies from Amazon, but you can get them in a number of other different places as well. The Book of Innocence by Paul Selig. So as we begin this morning, you can take a couple of breaths and close your eyes. And just settle into your space. Being willing to absorb whatever it is you need to absorb this morning. To do anything you need to do this morning to open your heart. To do that, you might think of a gratitude, something warm and loving in your life. Or any other way that you allow your heart to be open to both giving and receiving. Deep breath again, and you can open your eyes when you're ready. Paula, I think you said you had something you could begin with this morning.
I do. So here's an interesting thing to take into meditation. You don't remember what happened. What you remember becomes what happened.
Wow.
I know. That was from a Buddhist monk somewhere.
Could live with that one for a while.
Yeah, I've been with it for a couple of weeks, actually.
I was also reminded this morning of, well, actually, it was yesterday, I think, when I was working on my sermon for church. Something Ram Dass said. He said, "The only thing I have to give you is who I am in this moment."
That's good.
And what I wrestled with a little bit there was that there's a difference between who I am in this moment and who I perceive myself to be. And my perception, by its very nature, I believe, is always somewhat limited. And it takes a fairly good degree of openness, really good degree of openness to know who I truly am without clouds. So I think of some instances in my life. I know I've talked about my grandson Finn quite often. But what he reminds me of sometimes is that that quote from Robert Frost said, "A friend is someone I can walk a mile with without saying a word." And we do that a lot. And he might be involved in something on his phone, or I might be involved in something that I'm doing. And yet, just being in one another's presence is a gift. And it's something to recognize that that is a gift. So does anybody have anything you'd like to start off with before we get into today's material?
Yes. Could you get Paula to repeat her comment on remembering?
What was that again?
Would you please have Paula repeat what she began with, what you remember?
I'm still not
she
hearing
wants to
that.
Hear it repeat. What was it? Paula said she'd like to have
it. Oh, okay. Paula, could you repeat that?
Yes. You don't remember what happened. What you remember becomes, you don't, that just meant, you don't remember what happened. What you remember becomes what happened. It's like a Buddhist koan. I don't know what.
Yeah. But you'll probably all be reminded of that if you've ever sat down with a family member and discussed some instances that happened with the family. Everybody has their own take on that.
Yeah.
They were all there present in the same room doing the same thing, seemingly. But, well, I don't remember it that way. Here's the way I remember it.
Yeah, what you
and again, it's not a matter of being right or wrong, but our memories are clouded by, are not clouded so much, but influenced so much by our beliefs, by our attitudes. Sometimes what might have been going on with me at that particular moment. If I was in a state of joy, I'm going to see things differently than if I was in a state of grieving. So I'm going to begin on page 338, last paragraph there, as a way of getting into. That's okay, Matt. I'll practice my perfectionism by not picking it up. I had a friend of mine used to do that on purpose. He used to throw a paper clip or a piece of paper on the floor by his desk. And inevitably, all of us alcoholics would come in and pick it up. He said, you know, it's an interesting phenomenon. He said, people who are not addicted, who don't have any hangups, just leave it there on the floor. The ideals you hold about what ascension is, what it looks like at the top of the mountain, may be true, or they may be born an ego. So as we take you into the next section of this text, we must assure you that your requirement will be to release expectation, because as we have said, the innocent sees with new eyes. She perceives all as new. And as you have stepped forward thus far, you will be invited to come again up the mountainside.
Where did you start, Jerry? What page?
Page 338.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We begin in the next, I think this might be the last chapter, actually, of this particular book. We touched on this last week. There is no need to justify anything anymore. Those days have finished. Justification is of the ego, of the small self. You don't need to apologize for who you are. Oops, sorry, I'm a divine being. That'd be rather ridiculous, wouldn't it? Those days are finished. The excuses you have made for not having been where you think you should be, not having arrived yet, are finished. Am I there yet? Or is there nowhere to go? Is this a continuing journey that is not looking for a finish line, but has an infinite perspective, point of view? How much is enough unconditional love? Now, my ego says, when am I going to be finished with this? I want to sit back in my hammock and sip lemonade. When am I done? Am I done yet? How is it? In the Sin Sin Ming, it puts it this way, the wise man or the wise person holds to no goals, but the foolish man fetters himself. If we are living in the moment by moment by moment by moment, there are no goals. I'm just there. I'm not going to remember that, but but it's true.
Jerry?
Yeah, Paul?
That's really, to me, that is a really important thing to remember. And I see it as I've been blessed not to be in the throes of the terrible fires out here, but in observing the news and the people, and then what you've just said, I mean, we could be maybe more relaxed if we just realized we're never through.
Because there's no through to get to.
There's no through to get to. There'll be another thing that you'll have to come to terms with, come to see what you're about, whatever. And it could almost, I'm not saying I've reached there yet, but thinking about it now more deeply, it could be a sense of less pressure to relax a little more with the what is, no matter what it is, if or just even if relaxing is, or not relaxing, but I'm just getting through what I have. I just am doing the next thing I have to do today. Anyway, that was an important reading you did.
Thanks, Paul. See, where I get hung up sometimes is I confuse my perception with reality. The other paradoxical thing is that when I'm living in the moment, I'm not observing myself living in the moment. I'm in the moment. And there's kind of a difference between being in my observer consciousness, which is a high state of awareness, but being in an observer state rather than just being there. And so I'm not saying, well, I'm in the present moment right now. Because as soon as I do that, here I am, wasn't I? Okay, it's past, it's gone. When I'm in the present moment, I am in the present moment. I'm not thinking about being in the present moment. I'm not observing myself being in the present moment. I just am. It's only after the moment has passed that I reckon, oh, I was in the present moment a couple minutes ago. It's just sort of an interesting twist in my spiritual growth, my spiritual development, is to realize that when I'm in the present moment, I'm not thinking about being in the present moment. I just am. And there's no definition for that. It's just there. Interesting. You stand before yourselves today just as you are. In this very moment, you have made a claim of your independence from all attachments of this world that would hold you back from claiming the kingdom, claiming the truth of who you are. There's nothing in the way because I am standing, not in my truth, I am standing in the truth. Again, quote my friend Ram Dass, he said, eventually we come to a point where there's no place to stand. I just am. And see, there are some things for each one of us, I think, that can contribute to that awareness. Could be music, could be poetry, could be walking in nature. Could be a lot of different things. Doesn't have to be anything terribly complicated. But what puts you in a state of open-heartedness where you just are in that particular moment?
Jerry.
Yeah, is that John?
Yes. So I have a friend who is a psychic who frequently she tells stories about talking to God, and some of the things that she comes back with are pretty interesting. I struggled a little bit with one of the things she told me recently, which she would ask God about the fires and why he allowed them to happen. And the response was, it's complicated. Which is what you just said is complicated. And that reminded me of that conversation. So I'm thinking about that this morning. I'm also thinking about something I just read this morning. And I hope this doesn't take us too far afield, but I'm just, there was an article or an op-ed in the New York Times of someone I truly respect who talked about all the changes that are going on in the world today, political, physical, and what have you, but pointed out some things. He said that it took years to develop the first AI model. It now takes a new company 6 months to build one that's just as effective as the ones we currently have. He talked about one AI model that they were able to determine that the AI model was avoiding doing certain things. And when asked about it, the AI model told them that it was concerned that if it did those things, that someone would object and they would change its programming, which would indicate a certain level of awareness, of self-awareness. So I'm just throwing these out as, wow, the world is changing so rapidly. And it is complicated. Thank you, Lord. But we're looking for meaning from this. And so I go back to Paula's quote, which I wasn't able to quite capture everything about it, but it's, what is the meaning? In some ways, it's my memory of the meaning. It's not what actually happened. So, anyway, what's reality? I don't know. I'm just throwing this out as reality is what we think is happening when it's not reality at all. Thank you.
Thanks, John. I think it was Leo Vizcaya said, reality is a box. So what you think of as being reality is something that locks you into a particular way of behaving or a particular way of thinking. Reality is, well, how does it, in the book we're using on Tuesday evening, Beyond the Known. Reality is so much bigger than my mind can begin to grasp. Let me do that last sentence again, because I think it kind of sums up what we've been talking about. You stand before yourselves today just as you are. And in this very moment, you have made a claim of your independence from all attachments of this world that would hold you back from claiming the kingdom, claiming the truth of who you are. Now, the identity you hold has been molded in a higher way to claim the truth of yourselves. That has been the ambition of this text thus far. And as the mold was set, mankind aligned and said, I know, I remember. I have said yes to my own claim of worth in knowing I am here. Now, where do we go? Up the mountain again, and the climb is vast. As we reach the peaks, the air becomes more refined. The things below seem small, but the way down seems awfully long, and feeling that this may be a precarious climb may come to you as you ask and sit and wait until the thaw, until it is safe for you to commence again. We're not speaking about climbing a physical mountain so much as being in a higher state of consciousness. Simply put, I guess like in A Course in Miracles, I could see this differently. I could see peace instead of this. And so I take a step back from how I'm perceiving things and ask myself the question, how can I perceive this differently? How can I perceive this in a higher state of consciousness? How can I go beyond what my mind is telling me is true? We will promise you this. You are as safe now on this journey as you have ever been. And it's just as easy to trip over your feet on the first leg of the journey as the last. So we will say this. Trust yourselves and trust what comes. Learn how to listen to your heart. Your path might be tremendously different from somebody else's. It might seem like it has exactly the same problems or difficulties behind it. And yet your journey or what you're learning from that particular moment might be very different from what the person next to you might be learning or needs to learn. Trust yourselves and trust what comes. When you trust what comes, you go into an agreement with a future that is trustworthy. I am open to whatever it is I need to learn in this particular moment. And when we enter into a, let's say, a spiritual conversation like that, then whatever it is that we need in that particular moment will be provided. What do I need to learn from this? What have I called, why have I called this into my consciousness or into my awareness? What have I opened myself up to learn in this particular moment? When you trust what comes, you create the opportunity to traverse a landscape without fear. When you trust what comes, you can claim freedom because you're unafraid. I'm going to have to live with that one for a while.
People in California
have to deal with that. Yeah. When you trust what comes, you claim freedom because you're unafraid. Wow. I mean, that might be easy for me to do in a nice warm room on Bardstown Road. What happens if I go into my old neighborhood and it's all burnt down? Did I ask for this? What's that supposed to teach me? You know, and I can be very philosophical about, well, it teaches you that material objects are not important. Oh, yeah? I mean, there's an old Buddhist expression, my house burned down and now I can see the moon. I am so far away from that. And yet, the reason why that's so fascinating is that there's a truth to that. My house burned down and now I can see the moon.
Hey, Jerry?
Yeah, Jim.
Well, first off, my old home was evacuated. It's still standing, but it was evacuated, and I know the area really well, and I've known quite a few folks who've lost their homes. So that said, it's like what you just said in terms of, I'm talking to myself, if I'm in this hallway of uncertainty, this hallway, I don't see a light. Am I willing to trust in this uncertainty and doubt that I know beyond the intellect that I'm okay? I think that's where the spiritual rubber meets the road.
Thank you, Jim. Not just I am okay, but even stretching that further. It's an old Protestant song, old Protestant hymn called "It Is Well With My Soul." And the story behind it is that the writer of that piece of music lost his wife and his two children in a boat wreck, and then lost his son, and his whole business was burnt to the ground. And after all of that was happening, this song, this hymn, came out from his being, "It is well with my soul." Really?
Jerry.
Yeah, John.
So I don't remember the author's name. Perhaps you do. I'm sure you read his book. This author was a prisoner in the concentration camps during World War II.
Yes, Joseph Kilton Pierce.
That doesn't ring a bell, but this author talked about those who survived the concentration camps, the work camps, were those who had faith. And they even prayed for their captors. Those who did not have faith tended to die quickly. They lost hope. They just, their bodies failed them. They died pretty quickly in those work camps.
I think it was actually well, there was another story I was thinking about that I won't go into detail about, but I think it was Erich Fromm in one of his reflections said what kept him alive in the concentration camp was his love for his wife and her love for him, even though they were not physically present with one another. Yeah, Matt.
Jerry, I live out in the country, and on a dark night, when I'm taking the dogs out, when I step out and I look up, and then I see this galaxy of thousands, millions of little tiny lights. And sometimes that's scary because it makes me realize how insignificant things that are going on in my life really are. It's almost comical, almost humorous that we worry about certain things in the midst of everything else that is right there just to look at. But what has helped me is to realize that I'm really like a 2-year-old child. I don't understand. I don't know. The reality that I have might not be the reality that's meant for me. But what I do know, where I do have faith, is that whatever it is that's behind all this, the loving presence. And that's enough. When I get scared, when I get too caught up in my little children's toys all around me, it allows me to be able to step outside at night and realize that put all those types of things in their, perhaps in their proper place.
Wow, thank you for that. Changes your perspective.
Jerry, I remembered the name of that author, Viktor Frankl, Man's
Yes.
Search for Meaning.
Yes.
Yes, that's it.
Man's Search for Meaning. I don't want to get into another story. It's a little bit transient. Thank you for that, John. The middle of page 340, the actions you take now on your own behalf, from now until the end of time, are logged in a way in your memory. And the ideals you hold, the things that you believe in, will be mistaken at different times for things that have operated in trust. In fact, when you have an experience and you create an ideal around the expectation of that experience, you are not operating from memory. You're operating from assumption. It should be this, it should be that. The days of should must be left behind, and for one reason only. The shoulds that you hold in all cases are predetermined by historical data and the freedom you have now and forever as a truth of who you are is to claim anew. Anew is the word. To claim anew simply means you are not prescribing your life to what your life has been. And the challenge of this, we understand well, is that you are still facing all of your old creations, all of your old belief systems, the pots and pans in the kitchen, the desk at work, the clock on the wall that says it is time to go. You still face these things. How am I a new woman? How am I a new man? I still have bills to pay. Jesus was really good with that one. He never said you have to separate what this physical world from the reality of being in the kingdom. He said you can perceive things differently, but again, you don't have to ignore your responsibilities either. The most famous story is when one of the Pharisees asked him, should we give tribute to Rome, to Caesar? And of course, it was a trick question. If he said no, he could be lined up as a traitor, turned in. And if he said yes, well, he wasn't a good Jew. But he said very, the wisdom is overwhelming. He said, show me a coin of tribute. He gave him a coin. Whose face is on this? He said, Caesar's. Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are God. Turned out one day he was walking along the beach with Peter. And for some reason or another, they had to pay their taxes. I'm not sure what it was, April 15th or something in Roman years or something. But and they were broke. And Jesus said to Peter, throw your hook in the water over there. Pulled out a fish with a gold coin in his mouth. It was just enough money to pay their tribute. I will take care of you. I am with you all days, even to the end of the world. Do not let your perception of what you are lacking get in the way of the truth of who you are. On this day, I choose to realize that all the reflections before me are malleable to consciousness. In other words, they're clay, they're shapeable. Nothing is chiseled in stone. Everything I see before me may be transformed in a higher way as I claim my truth. How can I see this differently? How can I see this in a higher way? How can I see myself in a higher way? And I no longer need to seek solace in what was to claim my truth now. As I claim my truth now, I align to what is new in this very moment. And my perceptions, even my perceptions of what has been, will be called into a new ideal. I am a free woman, a free man, and I know who I am. Would that I could stay there. This is said by you in the face of challenge, because the assumption that because something has been there, it must stick around is a foolish ideal. Because it was there once meant that once upon a time, it was not there either. So one day it will not be there again. That's a great piece. I don't think I ever read that out loud before. Because it was there once meant that once upon a time it was not there. That fear, that worry, that doubt, there was a time when it was not there either. So one day it will not be there again. I'll have to put a star next to that one. I didn't put a star next to that the first time around. There was a time when it wasn't. There was a time when I wasn't afraid. And there will be a time when I'm not afraid again.
There's a lot of compliments.
The congratulations we offer you in the face of, the congratulations we offer you are in the face of change. I'm going to do one more paragraph and we'll do a meditation. Now you like change when it suits you. I got the raise at work. I bought the thing I wanted in the store to replace the thing I don't want anymore. I like that change. What you don't like as much is what challenges the foundation of what you have counted on to deliver you from fear in the past. And what you have used to deliver yourself from fear in the past has been other things than what might be claimed to you now. One of the things that happens when we're doing work like this, I believe, certainly including myself in the process, is that a lot of learning takes place on a subliminal level. A lot of spiritual learning takes place on a subliminal level. And we don't realize we've learned something until we come into a situation that we might have been in before, and we find ourselves responding to that situation differently. Where did that come from? Where did that patience come from? Where did that lovingness come from? Where did that openness come from? And it came from our learning, but we didn't know it was there until we are challenged with an event that we might have faced before, and we find ourselves responding to that event or that particular situation in a way that we didn't respond to it before. Something has shifted, something has changed in my awareness, and I didn't even know that it changed until I am faced with a situation and I find myself responding to that differently. I was getting some dinner ready for myself the other night, and I have this container for pasta, one of these glass containers. It's about the same size as a box of pasta, but it's easier to get to. And I spilled the whole thing on the floor. So I took a deep breath and I started picking it up and putting it back in the container. So where did that come from? Other times, Margo could hear me cussing, you know, from three different rooms away. Right? Where did that come from? And so it was interesting. I wasn't happy with the pasta on the floor, but I was grateful for the pasta on the floor. There's a difference. Taught me a lesson that I guess I had already learned in some ways, but didn't know that I learned. It's just a law of gravity, okay? You turn the container of pasta upside down, it's going to fall on the floor. I didn't do anything wrong. Nobody did anything to me. Just a law of gravity taking over.
Hey, Jerry, right quick before you do meditation, sure, I just want to just kind of piggyback on what you said is that I'm a big believer in consciousness memory. So this that we do in our own personal practice, affirmations, you know, I liken them to like spiritual hygiene or spiritual tools. So you're right. The practice, it becomes us. Now, sometimes we think that it's, you know, am I getting this? But like what you said, faced with a situation that you may have, or I may have responded differently, the fact that, again, consciousness has memories. Oh, wow. I didn't overreact, because it's seeping into our consciousness, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So let's take a couple minutes. You can put your stuff down. Take a couple breaths. Soften yourself. Becoming even more open than you were a moment ago, more receptive. I am open to whatever it is I need to learn in this moment, whether I am conscious of that or not. I give thanks for my openness. I give thanks for my life. I give thanks to all the lives around me. If I find anything getting in my way today, I will lovingly stop for a moment and ask myself the question and allow Spirit to answer it for me. How could I see this differently? Another deep breath and stretch a bit. Just need to leave a little bit early this morning. Doing double duty today. For those of you who might not have been here in the beginning, we are coming to the close of this book, the Book of Mastery. And the next book is another one by Paul Selig that we'll be picking up on called The Book of Innocence. And we'll give you some more information on that next time probably we get in touch. Have a safe day, safe journey. God bless.
God bless.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Jerry, and everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you, everyone.
We don't need to talk to church today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. See ya.
Bye.